Hey everyone, it's Riley with another solo episode. Today I'm going to be talking about cars, which is kind of funny for me because if you've listened to the podcast a lot, you might know that I'm kind of anti-car, I don't like them too much, but I'll try not to talk about that too much in this episode. I guess that's it for the intro. My Instagram is RileySullivanXD, Sota's Instagram is EgonoSota. Let's talk about cars. So yeah, probably in America, I'd imagine most people drive a car for the first time with their mom or dad, usually their dad, in like a empty parking lot somewhere. I think the stereotype is like a church parking lot, because church parking lots are often empty if there's not church going on. I did it for the first time with my dad in my school parking lot, I think. Maybe my junior high school parking lot. I think that's where we did it. But that wasn't actually my first time driving. Well, my first time driving a car, but not driving a vehicle, which is kind of weird. But my friend in junior high school lived on a big farm. And to get around on this big farm, we would use this thing. We called it a Kubota. Probably the brand name was Kubota, I guess. And it's kind of like a golf cart, but it like goes off-road. You can drive it in dirt and stuff like that, and it has four-wheel drive. So probably from like 6th or 7th grade, which is, what is that? I don't know, like 11, maybe? 11 years old? We were driving around a farm off-road in this little golf cart thing, and we were taking it up hills and into forests and across this little stream, like a small river, not a river by any means. A stream is like a tiny bit of running water, right? Or a creek, you can call it. And we would take it across that. And yeah, we just use it to kind of go around. And we would, if we had some kind of project we wanted to do on the farm, like we would often build forts or, something like that. We would make weapons out of wood and then take them into the woods and pretend to fight with them or anything. But so if we wanted to take all that somewhere else on the farm with us, we had this Kubota that had like a back where you could put stuff, because it was for farming. You would put your tools and stuff usually, but we would put basically toys. So we learned how to drive, kind of, at least how to operate a vehicle with that thing. And we did some dangerous stuff a couple of times. I remember we ran into a ditch and got stuck and had to call someone with like a real truck to pull it out. We tipped it over once so that it like landed on its side. We were both okay somehow, considering it, like, it didn't have any doors. So I don't really know how we were okay, but we were fine. No injuries. Anyway, it's not really a car, so I won't talk too much about that, but that's how I learned to operate a vehicle, and probably how many kids in like rural America in the countryside first drive something. But then when it comes to cars, yeah, I was in the parking lot with my dad, and my dad had a stick shift, a manual, so that, a manual transmission. So if you want to start the car, you have to hit the clutch pedal with your foot and then slowly hit the gas with your other foot and put it into first gear and then second gear and whatever. Probably in the parking lot, I was only going from park to first, maybe reverse a couple of times. But yeah, I know that manual transmissions are pretty rare in Japan. They're not super common in the United States, especially with newer cars, but with older cars, they were fairly common, I would like to say. I think, I don't know, maybe 25% or 30% of people in America can drive a manual, a stick, as we call it, driving stick. If you ask someone that, you probably say, can you drive stick? I was learning that, and then in school, this is all going to be about Maryland, where I grew up and learned to drive. I think in the States, it changes depending on what state you live in, what the rules are for like when you learn to drive and what you have to do to get a driver's license. But in Maryland, we went to driver's ed, which was outside of school. After school, you went to this little classroom and some person taught us, you know, the rules of the road, what the signs mean, what you're supposed to do when you're turning right or left or blah, blah, blah. And then we watched some scary videos about, you know, people who were drunk driving and got hurt and stuff like that. I remember it being pretty boring, but pretty easy. Like there is a test, a written test that you have to do before you get your license, and yeah, it's pretty easy. After you do the classroom stuff, then somebody, like a professional instructor, takes you in the car and you practice driving with him or her. Yeah, that's, I don't know if the driving lesson cars in Japan have this, but like, you know, you would be, you know, in America, the steering wheel's on the left. So you'd be on the left side of the car and the driving instructor would be on the right, and he would have, or she would have, his own set of brakes so that, you know, if you're doing something dangerous, he can stomp on the brakes and stop the car. So yeah, I remember that, and yeah, not much to report. It was kind of, again, kind of boring, and I think a lot of people also practice with their parents a lot, so for me, like, the actual driving with the instructor was not that useful. So yeah, I think the ages in Maryland were to get a learner's permit, which is when you're allowed to drive a car, but there has to be an adult in the car with you. To get a learner's permit is 15 years old and 9 months. I think usually that happens in your second year of high school, maybe your third. For me, I was, let's see, I want to say it was my second year. I don't remember exactly. So you can imagine, you know, a 15-year-old, almost 16-year-old, driving around in a car. Luckily, they have a parent with them. Usually, it's a parent. But it's kind of crazy, I think. And then you do that for 9 months. You have to drive with an adult for 9 months. And then you can get your full license at 16 years old in 6 months. I might be misremembering. It might be only 6 months. You might be able to get your license at 16 years old in 3 months. And also, these numbers might have changed in the, oh, over 10 years since, almost, geez, almost 15 years since I did all this learning to drive and stuff. But anyway, at 16 and 6 months, you're allowed to drive by yourself, but there are some additional restrictions. I don't remember exactly. There's something about driving at night, like even after 16 and 6 months, there might be rules about how late you're allowed to drive, or maybe you need an adult in the car if you're driving at night. I forget exactly. And there's another one about passengers. I think you're not allowed to have children as passengers if you just got your license, like 16 and 6 months. That might be until you're 18, but I don't remember exactly. But that's probably so that, you know, high school kids don't all get together in a car and go to a party and then come home drunk and, you know, everybody gets hurt. I think that's probably what the thinking is there. Because, yeah, it's kind of weird from a Japanese perspective, I imagine. You've probably seen it in movies, but by the third year of high school, most people, most students are going to school in cars. Now, some people, like, I didn't have my own car, so I didn't drive myself to school, but I had friends who had cars who lived in my neighborhood, so I would go with them, usually. And, you know, now I realize that the no passengers rule, I don't know how exactly that worked, because I definitely went to school with my friends in the car. I don't know if we were breaking the rules, or if that rule only applied at night, or I forget. Anyway. But anyway, people would go to school together all the time, and most people would drive and park in we had a student parking lot at the school, so the students would park there, and then yeah, drive home. And that meant that, like, driving home from school, sometimes people would go to, like, McDonald's or something on the way home from school, and sometimes people would all go meet up at the mall or at a park or something like that if it wasn't too late. And it meant that, like, by junior year of high school, the third year of high school, we were pretty much free. We could do almost anything we wanted, and at that time, we all had cell phones, so we could call our parents and say, oh yeah, we're going to be over here. Yeah, and that was pretty cool. And probably one of the most fun times of my life, honestly, was like third and fourth year of high school when, you know, you were just with your friends driving around, going to, in the summer, we would go to the lake and stuff, and we could all drive down to the lake and go swimming after school or whatever. But yeah, anyway, after that, now I guess I should get into like generally the rules of the road. So yeah, in America, I think people drive faster than in Japan. I think part of that is like the speed limit on the roads is usually faster. But also I think people go faster than the speed limit a lot. I think, so when I was growing up, the fastest you could go on a road in Maryland was 65 miles per hour. So 65 miles per hour is something a little bit over 100 kilometers per hour. I think 60 is 100, basically. 60 miles per hour is 100 kilometers per hour. So 65 is, I don't know, 108 or something like that. And that was on the interstate, what it's called, which is basically the highway. But I think that actually got moved up to 70 miles per hour. And even though that was the speed limit, most cars went much faster than that. I mean, pretty common to go 80 miles per hour on that road. You could see cars going 90. Pretty common. I mean, the general rule was that if you went less than 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, so if the speed limit was 65 and you were going 74 or less, then you would probably be okay and the police wouldn't stop you. But, you know, that's true not only on the highway, on bigger roads too, like the road to my high school, I think was, it wasn't a highway exactly, but it was a 50 mile per hour road, I want to say, and people would go 60 on that all the time, and that was actually a very dangerous road. I think it had some of the highest, traffic accident problems in the state, because it was a 50 mile per hour road, and there was just one, you know, little painted line between the two lanes of traffic. So cars were going 50 miles per hour, more like 60 miles per hour, again, like opposite each other with almost no space between them. So you can understand how there could be accidents. Next one is red lights. I think in America, most people, at least in Maryland, most people follow red lights. They stop at them. If it's turning yellow, or if it's yellow turning red, then people will probably go. Generally, the rule is that if the red light turns red before you are halfway through the intersection, then it's bad. But if you are already halfway through when the light turns red, then it's okay. I think compared to Japan, or at least Kagawa, I just mentioned this on the last episode, in Kagawa, people don't really follow red lights. You know, if the light recently turned red, you know, in the last second or two, people will often go through the red light anyway, because they know that the other direction's lights haven't turned green yet, I guess. But yeah, it's pretty dangerous and pretty scary if you're on a bike and expecting to be able to go and all of a sudden a car is passing, you know? Anyway, sorry, I said I wouldn't be too anti-car stuff. Anyway, pedestrians, people walking, and cyclists, I guess. In the States, you know, you don't interact with people that are walking too much. I mean, obviously in the neighborhood or in big cities you do, but where I grew up in kind of the countryside, you pretty much drive everywhere. And the places where you walk are from your car to the store or whatever, you know. Or if you're going to, like, go for a walk or go for a hike, then you park somewhere and go for a walk where there's no cars and then come back. So there's not a lot of interaction between pedestrians or cyclists and cars. But I would say when there is, because there's not a lot of interaction, drivers don't really know what to do. Like, I think just like in Japan, if there's a crosswalk, you know, like if there is paint on the road saying people can cross the street here, if there are people waiting, cars are supposed to stop and let them go. And that's just a general rule, even if there's no sign for it, if there is the crosswalk, the white paint on the road, then the cars should stop and wait for people to walk across. But that doesn't happen so much unless they're like a nice person. But I think usually it's because they're being nice, not because they're following the rules, because I honestly don't know if people really know that rule. That's all the kind of major traffic stuff I could think about. There's a lot more that people complain about on highways, but we don't really need to get into that. One more thing is quickly that I want to talk about is like driving habits, I guess. Like, it's pretty common for people to drive for a long time in America. Like, to have a 1 hour commute in your car to work is not that rare. You know, if you live in the suburbs and you commute into the city, America doesn't have a lot of trains, so people will often drive. And an hour and a half could happen sometimes for commuting to work. And also, like, if you're going to go on vacation or you're going to go see family, driving for 10 hours to go see family or to go on vacation is not rare. That same friend that I had that had the farm, he also had, like, a family reunion in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, which is, you know, like a beach resort town, every year. So a couple of years I went with him, and we would drive from Maryland to South Carolina, which it was, 9 or 10 hours. And that was like, it's a long drive, of course, it's long for everybody, but that wasn't like a crazy drive. Like, if you came back from that trip and you talked to your friends or whatever, and they said, oh, where'd you go? And you said, oh, Myrtle Beach. They would assume that you drove there. They wouldn't think that you flew in an airplane. There certainly isn't a train. When I was younger, we didn't do too many 10-hour drives, but we would drive like 4 or 5 hours to see my grandma. Sometimes people drive a long way, longer than 10 hours to go on vacation. Like, people will go from the Midwest, which is like Illinois, you know, Chicago area or something like that, and they can drive to Florida to Disney World, actually. And I don't know how long that is, probably 15 hours or something like that. So they probably have to do that in 2 days, I would imagine. They stay overnight somewhere in, like, I don't know, Tennessee or whatever. So that's maybe another difference between America and Japan. Like, America's bigger, first of all, so people drive farther, I guess. But also, it's just kind of normal because there are no bullet trains, no Shinkansen to get everywhere. They often will drive. Yeah, but I think I'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening. Bye.